Thank you so much. We praise the Lord for our bells, our choir. Thank the Lord for our children's choirs. Why aren't we blessed today? Amen. And it's Palm Sunday. And today we've gathered in remembrance of Him. And today you're here and some of you are at a crossroads in your life. And today we've gathered to praise and thank the Lord. We've gathered to preach the gospel. But you're not here by accident. God has a special message for you. And you see, when we gather and we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we transcend ritual here. Because the Lord wants to bring transformation to our lives through the Lord's Supper and the celebration of that supper. Because you see, it was at the Lord's Supper that Jesus initiated a remembrance of His death on the cross. And that by remembering His death on the cross, we would be transformed when we had this encounter with the Lord Jesus. And you have to think that it was at the cross that Christ purchased your pardon. And all of your sins were forgiven. Past sins, present sins, and future sins. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. So we're here today to participate in a celebration. You've been pardoned. Years ago, there was a king named King Charles in England, and he had a subject that was not a very good subject, and he was on trial, and the penalty would be death if he was convicted. And things weren't going well, but he was very calm. He was very collected. He didn't seem to be worried at all. And when he was convicted, and when the judge passed down the sentence of death, he still remained very calm. And after the sentence had been pronounced, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a piece of paper. And he walked up to the judge and he laid it before him. And you see, before the trial even began, this man had a pardon for his crimes from King Charles himself. And can I tell you that you have something far better than an earthly pardon for your crimes? Your sins against God? Your transgressions against the King of the universe? You have a pardon, those of you that have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it's been signed in blood by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And one day when you stand before Him in heaven, He's going to declare you not guilty. He's going to declare that your sentence of death has been lifted because of the pardon that was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we are here today to celebrate that and remember that today. And the Bible teaches that when we come in the proper frame of mind, when we come focused on Him, it will transform us today. And so today I want us to look at three transforming truths from the Lord's Supper as we celebrate that supper in remembrance of Him. And the first thing I want you to see is salvation. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' And in the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.'" So the Bible says that Jesus provided salvation for us, and He wants us to remember that through the Lord's Supper. And the Bible says that in the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread. What a backdrop of cruelty. What a backdrop of betrayal. What a backdrop of hurt and pain that makes us love the Lord Jesus even more. He was betrayed by one of His very own disciples. He was betrayed by a man that He trusted and He loved. And yet this man, in absolute treachery, sold Jesus out for a few pieces of silver. And you see, when we look at the cross, and when we look at the events that surround the cross, it makes us love the Lord Jesus even more. That even though He was betrayed, even though He was hurt, Even though he was stabbed in the back, he still went to that cross for us because he loved you and I so much. God loved you so much that he gave his only son just for you, just for each and every one of you, the Bible says. And the Bible says that Jesus took bread and he broke bread. It was symbolic of the fact that Jesus was slain on the cross for you. He was broken on that cross just for you. Now, Jesus was celebrating the Passover feast with his disciples. And we know that from the scriptures. And when you celebrated the Passover feast, which is the backdrop of this passage of scripture, there would be a presiding individual. That person was Jesus. He was presiding over the Passover feast with all of his disciples. And the person that would preside would pronounce a blessing. That's how they began it. And then they would pass a cup and they would all drink from the cup. They would drink the juice. And then they would pass around bitter herbs that were dipped in fruit sauce and unleavened bread. And these were kind of hors d'oeuvres in the Passover feast. And then Jesus would have explained the meaning of the Passover. And then there would have been another cup. And at that point, Jesus would have taken the unleavened bread and broken it just before they began the actual supper where they ate the Passover lamb. And it was during this Passover feast that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And how significant is that? Because the Passover lamb that was sacrificed 1,500 years earlier in the Exodus, that Passover lamb was representative of how the Lord liberated the Jewish people from their bitter bondage to the Egyptians, and how the sentence of death that was pronounced on every firstborn, how that death was lifted from all the Jewish people's firstborn because of the lamb that was slain in the place of the firstborn. And you see, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, it was a celebration of how that Jesus, the Lamb of God, liberated you from your bondage to sin. And how that Jesus, the Lamb of God, made it possible by trusting in him and his death for you on the cross. He made it possible for your death sentence to be lifted from you, for you to receive that pardon because of his broken body on the cross. And he did it personally for each and every one of you. There was a girl who lived in a poor home years ago. And she left her home and she went out into sin. And after her boyfriend had beat her up one night, she wandered home and she went to the back door and she was surprised to find the back door unlocked late at night. She walked in and she found her mom reading the Bible. And she said, "Mom, I'm so surprised that you're up and the back door's unlocked." She said, "Honey, since the day you left, that back door has been unlocked for you. And I've been sitting here waiting for you. And can I tell each and every one of you that when Jesus Christ allowed himself to suffer for the sins of the world on that cross, when his body was broken for you, he sent you a message. And the message is this. It's a message of welcoming you to your forgiveness, to your salvation, to your eternal life. Christ is waiting for you. And it's personal. He calls you by name. It's for Sue and John and Mary." And you see, when we look in the New Testament, Jesus is always a personal Savior. And you remember the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Bible talks about a man who traveled from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And that way was called the Bloody Way in that day. And Jericho was a place of thieves and criminals. And the Bible says that that man who traveled down the Bloody Way was assaulted and beaten and robbed by criminals. But the Bible says that a rescue mission took place. And a man who was a Samaritan rescued this man. And he poured life-giving fluids into this man's wounds and took him to the inn and nursed him back to health. And I love what the Bible says about the man who was assaulted. The Bible says it was a certain man. Because God is a personal God. And you see, God looks at you today and he says, there's a certain person sitting in that pew. There's a certain person sitting in the balcony. There's a certain person sitting on the front row or the second row or the fifth row. You see, God is a personal God. And God says, I died for that certain person in the fifth row, the third seat over. I died for you. He's a personal God. And maybe you're here today and you feel like that you've been cast aside in life's highway and byway. But can I tell you that the story of the cross is there's a Savior who loves you so much. He came to earth on a rescue mission to wash away the wounds and the bruises of your sin and to rescue you to eternal life and a new life in Him. You see, Jesus said, my body was broken for you so that you might live forever in heaven. But also the Bible talks about the cup when it talks about the Lord's Supper. And it talks about the blood of Jesus, the blood of the covenant that was shed for each and every one of you. And you see, Bible scholars believe this was the third cup in the Passover feast. And the Bible makes much of blood from Genesis to Revelation. In fact, 255 times in the New Testament, the Bible talks about the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus predicted his death 15 times in the New Testament. The Bible over and over again talks about the shed blood. And on the cross, Jesus redeemed you. That was the blood of the covenant. He shed his blood so that you could be bought back from slavery to sin, from Satan and this world. Now, I've never been to a pawn shop, but some of you may have been. And during the recession, a lot of people got desperate and they had to go to pawn shops and had to pawn valuable articles. And I've been told that the way pawn shops work is you go in and you take an article of value and you give it to the individual. And they take it and after a period of time, you're supposed to show up and you're supposed to pay the value that was loaned to you plus interest. And you receive your article back. But if you don't in that set amount of time, then the public can come in and they can buy your article. And those that go in and buy it, it's called redemption. They can redeem your article for the purchase price. And can I tell you that every one of us in this sanctuary today, every one of us had been bought by the devil. Every one of us were in bondage to Satan. But Jesus Christ walked in and paid the purchase price so that you might be redeemed from your sin. Redeemed from slavery to Satan, slavery to this world. That's the good news of the cross. It's the blood covenant. And just like that first century Roman slave who had someone walk in and pay the price so they could be set free from their slavery. And as the story goes, they looked at that person and they said, you have set me free from my slavery. I will serve you for the rest of my life. And that's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Because when we realize that Jesus Christ with his precious blood has set us free from our slavery to sin, Satan, and the world, we look at our Lord Jesus in love and we say, Lord, I love you so much for what you've done for me. I will serve you for the rest of my life. You see, when we understand the Lord's Supper, it transforms us. We will not walk out that door and ever, ever be the same. So the Bible talks about salvation. We have faith in Christ's body that was broken for us, his sacrifice for us on the cross. We put our trust in the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away all our sins and buys us back from slavery to sin. But secondly, I want you to see that when we think about the Lord's Supper, we think about glorification. We think about the fact that one day Jesus is coming again. And Jesus is going to give us a new body. Notice what the Bible says in verse 26 of this passage of Scripture. And it says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, the Bible says that we have a responsibility as Christians when we leave this place today. That we are so excited about the death of Jesus Christ, his blood that was shed for us. We are so in love with him that we want to proclaim this through the Lord's Supper and through our personal witness to other people. And we will proclaim this wonderful truth till he come. And you see, the great news about the Lord's Supper is it points toward a great day, a climactic event in world history, when Jesus comes again. And when Jesus comes again, he's going to give you a new body. When Jesus comes again, he's going to set up his kingdom. And there'll be no more nonsense. There'll be no more injustice in the world. In fact, the world will have peace when Jesus comes again and sets his kingdom. And we long for that day. We look forward to that day. And we pray for peace today. And we have the peace with God, where our sins are forgiven and we know we're going to heaven. We have the peace of God. We have a personal peace in our heart because the Prince of Peace lives in our heart. But one day there will be peace for the nations when Jesus comes again and sets up his kingdom. And what a wonderful hope that is for every single one of us in this place. And today there may be strife in your family, strife in your marriage, strife at your job, strife between you and other people. And you're concerned about all the wars in the world and the injustice in the world. But I want to tell you, one day, our great hope is that the Prince of Peace will come and establish his kingdom and perfect justice. During World War I, there was a French soldier and a German soldier, and they both were wounded and they both were dying right next to each other. And the French soldier gave the German soldier a cup of water. And the German soldier held hands with the French soldier and they began to pray. And then the German soldier looked at the French soldier and he said, "One day, when we pass over on the other side," which happened to be that day for them, "there'll be no more war. There'll only be peace." And can I tell you, one day when Jesus comes again, there's not going to be any more war. It's all going to be a time of peace, because the King of Kings will take the governments of this world over and there will be perfect peace. And we look forward to that day. That day when we have our new bodies and we are in a glorified state with Jesus. But last of all, I want you to see there has to be preparation when we take the Lord's Supper. Notice what the Bible says in verse 27. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself. And so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly." And so the Bible says this. The Bible says when we take the Lord's Supper, we need to take it in a worthy manner. You say, "Well, Pastor, what does it mean to take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? It's a serious thing, isn't it?" The Bible says you'll be chastised, you'll be disciplined, if you don't take this matter of the Lord's Supper seriously. And so we want to know, what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means that when you take the Lord's Supper, you know it's a commandment of the Lord. It's something God has commanded us to do. There are people that say, "Well, that church, they're just having the Lord's Supper. I think I'll skip that Sunday." Can I tell you that you are not regarding the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner? But also, there are those that take it ritualistically. "I love this church because we dedicate our entire service to the Lord's Supper." Why do we do that? Why have we done that for decades here? It's because the Lord's Supper is just not a ritual. We're just not rattling through some instructions for you for the Lord's Supper. You see, this is the Lord's Supper with passion, with fervor. We're in a celebration. And why are we in a celebration? Because the Bible says that this event, this remembering the Lord's Supper, leads us to commitment that changes our life. You need to leave here today a different person than when you came in. And those that just go through the motions of the Lord's Supper, the Bible says that individual is taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. But the Bible also says in this passage of Scripture that we need to examine our hearts. We need to examine ourselves. You might say, "Pastor, today I'm just bearing a grudge against another person. I'm angry with another individual. I'm not reconciled with somebody else." But the Bible says that's taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. The Bible says if you go to the altar and you have aught against your brother, you need to settle that. And so today, before we take the Lord's Supper, you need to forgive that person in your heart. You need to reconcile with that person in your heart. And just as the Lord Jesus has forgiven you, the Bible says we're supposed to forgive others. And I know you can't do it in your own strength. I know you can't do it. and your own human effort, but God will give you the power. He'll give you the strength. And we as Christians are supposed to live on that supernatural plane through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, the Bible says. Maybe you're here today and there's unconfessed sin in your life. Maybe there's a habit that you've secretly clung to. Maybe there's a besetting sin in your life, and the Bible says you need to confess that sin and you need to renounce it. And I know there's a struggle going on in some of your hearts. And I know sincerely you want to give up that habit, and there's a battle going on. And the Bible says a righteous man may fall 7 times, he'll get back up. But God wants you to come sincerely to Him and confess that sin and put it out of your life today so you can take the Lord's Supper in a worthy way. You see, the Bible says it's a serious thing to take the Lord's Supper. It's a great moment in your life. Several years ago, there was a brave soldier, and he came back from the war, and he found out that his mother was dying in a hospital in a small city. And she had AB blood, and she needed a transfusion, but nobody in that city had AB blood, and so they resigned that she was going to die. He left the hospital. He was traveling home. And as he was traveling home, he saw a fellow soldier walking on the side of the road, and he picked him up. And he began to tell a sad story about how his grandmother was going to die. That soldier he picked up said, "I have AB blood. I would be glad to give my blood on behalf of your grandmother." So he turned that car around. He went back to the hospital. And the rest of the story is that his grandmother lived 47 more years. Can I tell you that a brave warrior named Jesus Christ went to the cross? And he shed just the right blood so that you could have not just 47 more years of life, but I've got better news than that. He shed his blood so that you could live forever in heaven. And the Bible says today, if you will receive him by faith as your Lord and repent of your sins, the Bible says that you can experience that pardon, that forgiveness, that redemption, and that's why we're here today. We are in a celebration. We are celebrating what Jesus has done for us. Let's bow our heads in prayer with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You'd say, "Pastor, I'm here today and I need eternal life. I need to know that my sins are forgiven. And I realize today Jesus died for me personally," and he did. And today I want to invite you to step out from wherever you are and step out and come to Jesus. You say, "Well, Pastor, you want me to come to Jesus publicly?" Jesus died on a cross publicly for you. It's a small thing for you to step out for him. Maybe you're here and you'd say, "Pastor, I need to join this church. This is a church with a great missionary heart. This is a church that is purpose-driven in all that they do, from the Lord's Supper to 20% of all their offerings that go to missions, to the passion they go out and they execute faith evangelism, and the choirs sing with heart, and the preaching and the teaching is with heart. And I want to be a part of a place like this." Maybe you need to come. But whatever decision God is speaking to you about today, won't you listen to the Lord? Father, in Jesus' name, there are men and women and boys and girls that need your help. Father, you're speaking to their heart, and they are at a great crossroads. Father, help them to make that step for Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.